So God is still in the blessing business. We come up now to the preached word. As it says on your program, the service of the word. God is still blessing us. Let us all stand. This morning, once again, I call your attention to the scripture that was read in our devotion, which comes from James, the epistle of James. As you know, I'm preaching through the epistle of James, and we did verses 2 through 4 the last time, and today we would do verses 5 through 8 if the Lord say so. But before we do that, let us recite our mission statement. The mission of People's Community Church is to disciple the church and the unchurched through biblical preaching, teaching, and outreach ministry that will help to heal the hurting. Hallelujah. Maybe we should have put hallelujah at the end of it. Hallelujah at the end. Hallelujah. God is still blessing us at People's Community Church because we still, he says, what you have done for one. See, sometimes we leave that one off that scripture in Matthew. What you have done for one of the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Hallelujah. When you serve the homeless people, look at their faces. You can see the face of God. When we go down to Pacific God Mission and we see 700 people down there, God said, what you've done, Shannon, for the least of them, I get excited. I don't know about you, but I get excited about serving God. I get excited about serving God's people. There are no respect of persons when you come to serving God's people. I better go ahead on and preach. Y'all be saying, well, Pastor didn't preach today. Well, you're never going to come to this church and say that. All right, call your attention once again to the epistle of James. This scripture has been read for your entirety already. I'm just going to lift up that first verse, and it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. As we look at our lesson text this morning, our theme this morning, God gives and man acts. God's giving and man's acting. You may be seated. We're talking this morning because when we preached the last time from the book of James, we were telling you about how we are to count everything joy. It says, count all joy. And it talks about how we are to have faith and patience. But I don't want to leave you hanging, because the verses that we look at today is going to tell you how you will be able to do those things. As we look in our world today, with all of our great universities and our great things of thought and think tanks that we have all across America. But there's one thing that still ends up lacking, and that is wisdom. Wisdom still ends up lacking. We go to great lengths to have the smartest people in America here in our country. But we see, I was looking at the new Chicago police superintendent, and he is really trying to reduce the crime rate. But his first couple of months in office, it went up higher than it was last year. But he's trying. He's trying. And I'm praying for him. And it seems like now Chicago has the highest shooting rate than any other city in America. With all of our criminologists and all of our great universities, we tend to come up with no answer. We're talking about wisdom this morning. And with all of our marriages, 50% of them, my daughter reminded me of that the other day. She was reading something and she said, well, I guess she was shocked. She said, Daddy, 50% of marriages end in divorce. What happens in our selection? Is is it the things that we look at that draw us to a person, and also the things that tear us away from that person? Now, you can call me on that one during the week. But what happens in our selection if 50% of them end in divorce? There must be a problem. And my wife and I, the most expensive wedding that we have ever gone to only lasted for 3 months. What happened? What's going on when we put all of our money in the wedding and no thought in the marriage? Come on now. But we the smartest folk in the world. But here's another thing that rather perplexed me and caused me to think a little deeper. I was at a meeting with all of these presidents and CEOs of companies, and they were talking about various and sundry things, and I found out that all of these great men who run all these great companies, they had very low test scores when they graduated from high school. And some of them had a hard time getting into different colleges. So I had to raise the question, what does it measure? Does it measure success? You know, we got all these great minds and all these great people that put all of these things together, and they don't measure anything. And am I right about it? They're not measuring anything. So we see here, how do we measure success? We keep coming up with stuff in our world, but we keep lacking one simple thing, and that is wisdom. Now, I just can't look at the world. I have to look at myself, because I really thought that I had this thing when I used to run my housing organization, this thing about interviewing people for jobs. You know, I read the books and went to the personnel classes. And this one lady came in. She was applying for a job as a housing counselor. Oh, man. She looked like she had just stepped out the beauty shop. She had on her power suit. She had her portfolio. She came with all kind of recommendations and everything. And, man, I told her in the interview, you got the job. I don't need to look at nobody else. I don't need to interview them. When can you start? She said, I could start Monday. And you know what? She showed up Monday, and I didn't even know who she was. The person that I interviewed, I never saw him again. What happened to the person that I interviewed? What happened to the power? So she showed up with something I thought I was going to have to send her back home. I never saw the same person. What's going on with all my understanding and personnel training? And Diane can tell you, Diane came and interviewed me for a job. I didn't hire Diane. Because if you all ever talk to Diane, you ask her a question, she gives you one word. Well, that don't go too good in an interview. But I hired somebody else because she promised me her brother was a basketball player and all kinds of stuff. Never happened. But anyway, I hired her next time. Diane became the best housing counselor that I've ever hired. But in my own wisdom, I didn't hire her. And all of the training she's got, she's still running the DuPage Home Ownership Center right today. And then when the people would come to my office, I would have to almost tell them that Diane was not a lawyer because she knew all this stuff. And she, but in my wisdom, I rejected her. So now what happens to all of this training and wisdom, and knowledge, not wisdom, and knowledge that we claim we have? But we don't have it, do we? Today I would teach that wisdom is not intellectual knowledge, but the superior and divine quality of our soul. 2 points this morning. God is the source of our wisdom. Verse 5. and point number two is one must ask in faith. We must ask for wisdom from God in faith. And that's verses 6 through verses 8. Now, in our lesson text, it says, if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally. If there is a time in your life when you know that you don't have wisdom, and see, we need to understand that wisdom is not a whole lot of facts. Wisdom is taking facts and blowing the word of God on those facts and allowing those facts to help you to make decisions that will be pleasing to God. Because if all you have is head knowledge, you just gonna run amok. God, only God can give wisdom. And let me just say something, because wisdom does not come to you by reading books. Some books, you get knowledge. Wisdom does not come to us by singing. Wisdom does not come to us by sitting in a class. As the Bible says, and I just read it to you, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Simple. The only way for you to get wisdom is on your knees. That is the only way for you to get wisdom from God is on your knees. Now, when you go to your knees, when you go and ask God for wisdom, you know, when you ask God for wisdom, God say, I would give it to you generously. He said, I will give you as much as you need, but you have to ask God. Now, I'm not going to go through here and take no survey and ask how many of you all ever asked God for wisdom. So you stop trying to be so smart, and you've never asked God for wisdom. Come on now. Am I right about it? If you're so smart, but you never asked God for wisdom, you're going to run amok, and you can only get it. You can have 3-4 different master's degrees, PhD, and all that kind of stuff. But if you never ask God for wisdom, you are just going to be an educated fool. Are y'all with me? Are y'all out there? Are y'all still here? It says, and he giveth it liberally. He gives it to everybody. God gives it to everyone. God gives it to all nations. He gives it to all communities. And he gives it to all individuals. Those who ask for wisdom sincerely. And the reason that God gives it is because God is a giver. His nature is to give to those who sincerely ask him. Now, if you're going through life and you've made some bad decisions, see, that's what, pay attention to this, because you see, ungodly folk cannot do godly things. Are y'all with me? Godly people can do righteous things. You know, counseling people is not a secret. The only thing that I do as a Christian counselor is get people to do godly things. Godly things is putting God in your life, prayer and meditation, writing in your journal, helping God to be your inner self. And see, I said it this morning in Sunday school. See, the word of God transforms you. It does not reform. You see, a reform or rehab job is on the outside, but transformation takes on the inside. So God wants you to be transformed on the inside. My wife watched me wash my coffee cup sometimes at home. I was trying to wash it in the kitchen today, but Sister Curry stopped me. So you let the suds get in the cup, and then you run the hot water now in the cup, and you stir it up. Y'all paying attention? And you stir it up in the cup. And then you take your paper towel and you put it in the cup. And then see, the suds on the inside or overflow on the outside. And then all you got to do is run the towel around the cup. And then you rinse it off and put it on the shelf. Hallelujah. But you got to clean it on the inside. And are y'all with me this morning? You can take that one and write it down. Now you know how to clean the cup. And that's better than dishwashing. You understand me? Because you go to a restaurant, sometimes they bring you a dirty cup, don't they? See, they have not taken the time. Oh, let me leave that alone. They have not taken the time. But the Bible says that if you lack wisdom, Now, I want you to understand this, because I want you to think that you got it. You have to ask God for this. You're not going to get this at the university. You're not going to get this at the think tank. In order for you to transform all that knowledge that you have, you have to ask God to do that. And he said he gives it liberally. So God is a giver. And then also it says, and unabraideth not. That word upbraideth, means that he doesn't give it in a reprimand. He doesn't give it scornful like we do. Y'all know how we give stuff, don't you? We had a store, and my brother never wanted to work in this store, but he always wanted to come in there and get money. So he comes dressed up. Our store was right across the street from our house, and I think it was about the 4th of July. My brother come in there with all his 4th of July clothes on, finna go out, and my daddy say, here come Robert. He ain't done nothing in this store today. So he came in there and asked for some money, and my daddy said, I ain't gonna give you nothing because you haven't done it. He kept on arguing with my daddy. My daddy took the whole, at that time, you know, we had a drawer that we kept. He took the whole drawer, and he took it, and he threw it at my brother. Money went everywhere, the little money that we had. But I want you to know, my brother took his time and picked up all that money, and he left. But I want you to know, God doesn't give like that. God doesn't give like that. God doesn't ask you, say, if you come into God, and God say, well, what did you do with the last thing I gave you? God said, I'm not giving you nothing. You didn't do it. See, God doesn't upbraid. God doesn't give us stuff in a reprimand, in a scornful way. God gives us generously, and God gives us to us with grace, no matter how bad we mess up. Lord, you know, you blessed me with a new car, and I done tore it up, and you blessed me with a job, and I done messed up. You blessed me with a wife, and I ain't been home in 2 days, and you blessed me with all this. But see, God said, listen, if you repent and come to me sincerely, God said, I will restore you. I will remake you. I will plant you like the potter did the clay. I will shape you and I will mold you. Even if you move in the potter's hand, the potter will shape you as is pleasing, yes, to the potter. Yes, so God doesn't give like we do. And then it says, and it shall be given unto them. When God gives you, he doesn't give like that. And he said, let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. And now, when we go to God, we have to act in faith. We can't go and then we don't act in faith. Now, there's three things that we need to have in order for us to take all the trials and stuff that we go through and have joy with all of them. I've talked about the first one. The first one is wisdom. Wisdom must come from God. Wisdom must be requested from God. And the next thing is that we must have prayer. And then the third thing is that we must have faith. And that's what it says in the scripture. And then when that's what it's saying here. It's talking about, it says, when it says that, but let him ask in faith. Ask in faith, that's prayer. We have to ask God with faith. And now when we look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it talks about that how we are to go to God. But when we go to God, we must go to God in faith. We must first believe that he is. In other words, we must believe that God is the only God. Before you can go to God, you must believe that God is the only God. He's the only one that exists. He's the only God that we can go to. He's the only God that blesses us. It says, he who cometh to God must believe that he is. You first must believe that God exists. And then when we believe that God exists, then it says God will reward you, those who diligently seek him. See, once you believe that God exists, then God will reward those that diligently seek him. We have to make our requests known unto God. We have to go to God in prayer. We have to pray for wisdom. That's what it's talking about here. We have to ask God. We have to go to God, and we have to ask him for wisdom. And it says in that verse, it says, but let him ask in faith. We have to ask him in faith. Now let me break this thing down about faith. Because see, some of us sometimes are confused. We think faith just comes first. But see, first, underlining this. Now you write this down. There must be believing at the bottom of the scenario. We first must believe. So what we believe, you must believe. It says, I came to believe that a power greater than me can restore me to sanity. But before I do anything, I first got to believe. Now, it's not enough to just to believe. Because, see, there are a lot of people that believe, and they don't do anything about it. The lady say, I believe that my money is better in the bank that's under than under my mattress, but she never takes it to the bank. So that believing ain't got nothing to do with nothing. So first we have to believe. You know, before we do anything, we must first have to believe. If you see the Willis Tower, somebody first had to believe that that thing was possible. And I like reading about it. I like reading about all the basements and how it was built and everything that happened about it. That is a monstrosity. Every time I go downtown, I am just amazed. And I read all everything about it. How it can only move 6 inches and everything. And all the work that went in, all the sub-basements and everything. That building is just a phenomenal structure. I don't know why I just have to be amazed. But somebody first saw that. You know, the Wright brothers. You know, they saw that man could fly in a plane. Don't you get out there and try to fly by yourself. But the Wright brothers saw that an airplane was possible. And now we get on airplanes, we don't even think about the Wright brothers, do. But first, somebody saw that it was possible. Now, another thing, Mount Rushmore. I don't know if you've ever been there, I've ever seen it. But for somebody to carve presidents' heads out of the side of a mountain, first somebody had to believe that was possible, didn't they? So before we do anything, we must first have to believe. Now once we believe, y'all got believing down?
Yes,
all right, you got believing down. Then you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision once you believe. Once you make a decision, then you make a decision. But believing now, pay attention now, because believing and making a decision is all in your mind. You ain't done nothing yet. But you've just believed and you've made a decision. Now go back to the lady with the money under the mattress. The lady say, I believe that it's better off at the bank. Although it ain't giving me much interest, but it's better than being under my mattress. So now I'm believing that it's better at the bank. Now I have made a decision, the woman say, I have made a decision to take my money to the bank. She ain't going out the house yet. Now y'all ought to understand this. But then Monday morning, she gets up and gets all her money out from under the mattress, and she takes it to the bank. See, she first believed. She made a decision. She put it into action. And now why her money is in the bank, that's faith. All of that leads up to faith. Now she got faith to believe that her money is there, is safe, is getting the little interest that they give you, and all of that. But see, first, you have to believe, you make a decision, you put it into action, and that yields faith. So now we have to go to God. But before we go to God, that's why I said he rewards those who diligently seek him. But before we go, before we pray to God, we have to believe that he exists. And when we believe that he exists, then we can ask him and he will reward those who diligently seek him. But pay attention. We have to believe first before we ask. Are y'all with me? You have to believe first before we ask. So we see now, James is trying to help us to understand some things here about how can we have joy and count all of these things joy, trials and tribulations that we go through. And then in verse 6 he says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven by the winds and tossed. Have you ever taken a cork out of a bottle and put it in Lake Michigan? And if that water was high as it was the other day, you would see that cork just being thrown back and forth. Sometimes it's closer to the shore. Sometimes it's out in the lake. Sometimes it's going like this, it's going like that. So you may not have ever done that, but let me just tell you about a person who wavers in their faith. You've seen, you may not have ever done a cork, but you have seen a drunk person. Hello. If you ever seen a drunk man, you know he wobbles over here and he wobbles over there, and it takes him long to get to wherever he's going, and sometimes he never make it. But that's what it is, a person that's dealing in doubt. It's like a person that's drunk, that's wobbling all over the place and not getting nowhere. He said that man wavers, and that's what he's talking about him. But let him act in faith, not wavering. You don't waver when you come to God. He said, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind. See, the wind is what drives the wave. The wind is what causes it to toss back and forth. And see, we are so distracted about different things that when we go to God wavering, and we go to God asking God for something. God said, you know, you don't even believe I exist. And you don't even believe what you're asking me for. So how am I going to give you wisdom? And you don't even believe that I have the power to do that. It's letting you to understand what you need to do. So then verse 7 says, let not the man think that he shall receive anything. Boy, that's a powerful verse. He that wavers, he that is tossed by the wind, he that acts in doubt, he said, let him receive nothing from the Lord. Now, a lot of us want to know why our prayers are not answered. We heard it in Sunday school. Our prayers are not answered because you go to God not believing that he exists. You go to God wavering. You go to God in doubt. Now, that's a different kind of doubt that Thomas had. Thomas said, I want some evidence. Now, you want some evidence, God will give you some evidence. But we go to God in doubt. We don't believe God can give us a job. You don't believe that God can straighten up your marriage. You don't believe God can have you to do these wonderful things in life that he wants you to do. You don't believe God can give you divine health. You don't believe God can prosper you. You don't believe God can bless you. God says, so when you come to me and you ask these questions, you don't even believe them. You don't even believe them. So God said, you ain't going to get nothing. It said in scripture, not me. Says, for let him that thinketh he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, verse 8 is my favorite. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man. A man who is in the church, a person who's in the church, but also loves the ways of the world. A person who's in belief, but also operates in unbelief. A person who is fighting this civil war battle between being a child of God and being a child of the devil. He said, a double-minded person. I'm telling you, don't make sure, young ladies, when you marry, when you date, don't date somebody that's got two minds. Don't date somebody that say they're in the church and then they're cutting up out in the world. They have no commitment to the church and they have no commitment to the world, but they are double-minded. That is a dangerous person. And it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If a double-minded man go into business, ain't gonna work. If a double-minded man gets in a marriage, it ain't gonna work. If a double-minded man decide to do anything in the church, all that double-minded man is going to do is cause confusion, because they're not going. Oh, y'all, you've seen them in church. They're not willing to accept the word of God. They're double-minded. God said he's going to be unstable. Some of you may have been going down the expressway and you've seen that sign on the back of that truck that said, don't follow me. I saw you right up there behind it. I'm just kidding. But the sign say, don't follow me. And when you're on the expressway and you see that and you pull around that, you got the sign right there. Why are you up behind that truck? I don't blow my horn. My wife keeps telling me don't blow horns at people. But that's one time I have to look at the sign. Lord help us. A double-minded person. That's your litmus test, young ladies. Question them. See if they double-minded. Because he's going to be unstable. He's going to be unstable in all his ways. Let me tell you a story before I close about wisdom. They may not do it anymore, But back in the day, we used to buy big boxes of cereal. And at the bottom of the box, it had a prize in it. My favorite was the Frog Man. You know, if you put some baking powder in the Frog Man's leg, he could swim all around the bathtub. My mama thought I was in there taking baths, but I was in there with the Frog Man. But my story is, but before we could get to the prize, now we would get the cereal, and me and my brother would want to open it and stick our hands down because we knew the prize was at the bottom of the box. And my mother, all seven children, we got the big box of cereal. So we couldn't take our hand, Reverend Smith, and stick it down in the box and get the prize. Are y'all with me? So me and my brother had to eat cornflakes. Kellogg's cornflakes. Frosted Flakes. All of them. We would just eat cornflakes. We wouldn't eat them because we cared. But we wanted the prize. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We wanted the prize. I had to get me another Frog Man. We wanted the prize. But it's just like wisdom. See, in order to get God's wisdom, you got to dig deep. You got to go and you got to eat the word. You got to swallow the word. You got to deal with the word of God. You got to deal with the things of God. If you want the wisdom of God, you got to go into prayer. You got to act in faith. You got to learn how to operate. Oh, y'all don't hear me. But you know Solomon, when he was a young man, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream. Uh-huh. And the Lord said, Solomon, I will give you anything that your heart desires. What is it that you want? Solomon could have asked for riches. Solomon could have asked for long life. But Solomon said, Lord, give me wisdom to know how to deal with my people. Give me wisdom to help me to deal with my people as they go in and as they come out. And the Lord was pleased with Solomon's request, and the Lord blessed him with wisdom. But not only when the Lord blessed him with wisdom, he became the wisest man in the world. If he didn't write all the Proverbs, he told the other writers what to say. Solomon became so wise, his reputation went all over. And the Queen of Sheba came to visit him. And when she sat down and talked to Solomon, and she said, you know what? Half of the story as to how wise this man is have not been told. He said his wisdom exceeded his reputation. Half of it has not been told. Half the story about you have not been told. If you go after and seek God's wisdom, God wants you to have that wisdom. But God wants you to ask him for it because God is a way maker out of no way. He's bread in a starving land. God is a giver. God so loved the world that he gave his son. So God, his nature is to give. His nature is to bless you. God wants to bless you. God wants to use you. God created you for his glory and for his sake. And God is waiting for you to take your rightful place in his kingdom. God is waiting for you to come into his family and to be his own child. He's waiting for you to cry, Abba Father, as Jesus as your big brother and God as your heavenly father. And being a covenant child, you got 8,000 promises that's in the Bible. All these things God wants to give them to you. All you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Christ and God raised him from the dead. You can be saved. You can be blessed by the best. Are you out there this morning? Are you out there this morning? God is calling you. If you lack wisdom, acts of God. But first, you got to go into prayer. It only comes when you're on your knees. It only comes when you ask God through faith. God is out there. You don't have to run amok of your life. You don't have to go through life making bad decisions. Making decisions that's pleasing to God. A lot of things we want to do in life, a lot of decisions that we have to make. But we have to run them by the rubric of wisdom and prayer and faith.